Hello to our Patreon members. Shout out time. Our project managers are Tony Zane, Jimmy Fata, Henry Backer, Bill Grease, Mug members, George Valenzuela, Marcus Von B. We've also got, naturally, our Jimbotron members and David Johnson, David Michaud, Graham Ramstead, Jason Doerr, Renee Brindamore, Ryan Lett. Thanks to all of you and to our great sponsors, Jim K. Ford and the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team.
The Steve Warren Project. Sports and whatever.
Ladies and gentlemen, my God, it's good to see you. It's a visual medium. I don't know what I'm talking about, but it is Steve Warren along with Jim Jerome. I'm here in the nation's capital in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. And Jim Jerome is not in Edmonton. He's in the same province as me. He's up in Sudbury, Ontario, Canada, home of the Big Nickel and the birthplace of one James Jerome. Jim, how are you?
Got a new mic, Steve. Is it working all right?
Sounds amazing.
I got some new technology. How's it sounding?
Huh? Rich and full. It's amazing.
You know what I did? I figured it's high time, Steve, that I would just, you know, I've always been bugging you technically.
Yeah.
And I got another producer, Mike, there from the Inside Curling Show. I said, I got to stop bothering those guys. I can do this on my own.
Yeah.
So I spent $300 and I got myself a new setup.
Right. It appears to be wire and tin can that you bought from some guy with a trench coat on the corner.
What? What do you think? No.
I tease, Stevie. I tease.
There you go. Much better.
I do it just to hear you laugh.
What, but has you up in Sudbury?
Life stories. Yeah, life stories. Nice. I was down in Toronto and doing a story. And you would know the guy. You would know the name O'Toole. Remember O'Toole's restaurants?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. There's an actual O'Toole. His name's Dan. And I met him years ago. Anyway, I did his life story. And then I was, you know, whose other story did Steve in Ottawa? You would know this guy because he's really active on Twitter. And he was a huge fan of Tigor. And his name's Rick Raymond.
Big
Does
Rick.
That ring a bell? Big Rick. Yeah.
Yeah. We've pretty much didn't get out last summer, but we've golfed, I think, probably three or four summers in a row now.
You and Rick?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. He didn't say anything. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Anyway,
I'm telling you now.
He requisitioned me to do him and his wife, Tiffany, who's much smarter than Rick. Good thing.
Oh, see.
Yeah, no, now you can't. That's not fair. So he's very funny, though. So I went to their house, and they live in what I know as Elmer. No, I think it's called Gatineau. I went to the house, and I walk in. I sit down at the dining, you know, their dining room table, and there's a big picture of Russ there, okay? Big giant, okay, of Russ Cornwell, right?
Really?
And I'm going, oh, yeah. And naturally, Stevie, being the egomaniac I am, I start to glance around to look for my picture. And he's, you know how funny that guy is, right? How he can superimpose shit and all the editing and filtering he can do. So I look over, in a corner, it's hanging from a shelf. And it's my head on Mr. Furley's body from Three's Company.
Oh, my God.
So put the safari suit in the. I'll get Rick to put it up. But anyway. Yeah. And then, I'm back in Ottawa. I got to zip back there Thursday. I'm doing a couple more stories. The other one you would know is former Mayor Larry O'Brien. I'm going to do his.
Oh, nice.
Story. Yeah.
Cool.
So I'm busy, man. I'm super busy.
That's great. I'm glad the business is rolling along. What's the website?
It is lifestoryrecording.info.
Are you sure?
I think. Oh, it's not? What is it? Recordyourstory.info. Okay, it's the place.
Oh, that was close.
Yeah, that was.
That almost no bearing to the first URL you gave.
Excuse
it.
Me. Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, there it is.
Does your mute button not work at all?
I'm just going to check. Hang on one sec. Let me see if it works.
You got this hot new microphone that apparently doesn't have the mute ability. There you go. Now you've got it.
Now I got it. Okay. Recordyourstory.info. It's all in the title. Anyways, if you'd like me to do it, I'm getting close to 50 stories now, Stevie.
Wow. Nicely done.
Well, super busy, man.
Well, I don't want to hear your life story, but let's move. But lots going on in the world of sports, and a couple of things that grabbed me on the coaching front, and one of them was John Tortorella, a personal favorite of ours, I think, over the last 20 years, doing what we do with a lot of sports talk. Tortorella just provides one great storyline after another, and provided another one in the game the other night. He got suspended for 2 games, and he'll pay a $50,000 fine. Flyer CEO has said, I'm going to pay that because I love what he did there. Wes McCauley had a couple of shaky calls that resulted directly in goals as the Flyers fell behind 4-0 to the Tampa Bay Lightning. It was Tortorella's old team, and I guess it was some kind of alumni night as well, with a bunch of his old Tampa players up in the press box. He's now with the Flyers, and very early in the game, about 10 minutes in, Wes McCauley kicks him out for complaining about said calls, and Tortorella, defiant as always, for about 2 minutes, stood there yelling back at McCauley, saying, I'm not fucking going anywhere. I've never seen that before. Never.
Beautiful. Sorry, I'm just practicing my mute button. Yeah,
that was good. No, it was good. I liked it.
I would like if any coach did that, but yeah, I haven't seen the clip yet, but I can only imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. It's exactly as you imagine it.
Good. Good. That avoid torts. Keep her coming, baby. Keep the hits coming.
Yeah. No, he was, it was a great scene for sure. And it got me wondering, like, what exactly would they do if he really, you know, dug in his heels and said, I'm not going anywhere. Right. It's not like you can, you know, in any other level that's not professional, you could basically say, okay, Flyers, you forfeit the game if your coach doesn't leave. You can't do that in the NHL, particularly for a game in Tampa Bay where all these people are only 10 minutes into the game and paid all this money and, you know, spent all this time to get there. They're obviously not going to forfeit a game under those circumstances. So it really was an old-fashioned standoff between Wes McCauley and John Tortorella, and both of them for a long time were going, I can go as long as you want.
Well, you know what else, Stevie? So he gets booted for 2 games for doing, you know, I don't know. Complaining about calls happens all the time, Steve.
Right.
All the time. Like, you know, just watch a game. Watch any game and watch when there's a penalty called and watch the coach.
Yeah.
They freak out and rip those guys all the time, you know? Unless, yeah, I see it all day long. So, you know, Tortorella, I'm saying I'm not going. It's funny, but it hardly means 2 games and 50 grand, you know.
Yeah.
Settle down.
I mean, if he hung around, you know, if he hung around for 10 minutes and it got tedious, okay. But that was actually, I think for the average fan, I'd say 99% of people who watched that were going, that's pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand why that's such a big factor, but the Wes McCauley factor, I think that's part of it. I don't know that many referees would, necessarily, you know, boot a guy. I don't know. We didn't hear what was exactly said, but John Tortorella has been coaching in the game for 25, 30 years now. He knows the line. Right. And because it's Wes McCauley, it makes me kind of raise one eyebrow, because I think this guy, you know, his shtick was kind of fun for a bit. But I think it's better when you don't know the referee's name. I think the fact that Wes McCauley has become a household name for hockey fans, I don't think that's necessarily a good thing.
Right. Right.
There's a reason they took the surnames off the back.
Right. All right. And went to the numbers. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think they've always had numbers, but they'd have Andy Van Helmond on the back of the uniforms. And after a while, say, you know what? We don't want you guys to be the stars. We want you to fade into the background. And the less we notice you, probably the better the game actually is.
Yeah. You know, the other thing is, you wonder how often coaches would really like to rip the ref a new one.
Right.
You know, like how much they actually do hold back, you know, under the rule. And the other thing is, Torts is getting kicked out of a game that, you know, looks like they're down 4-0. I don't know how early it was in the game, but
10 minutes.
Not a bad one to get booted out of, Steve. You know. Mm-hmm.
Plus, you got all your old players from 20 years ago when you won the 04 Cup. They're all up in the suite, so technically speaking, he could wander up there and party up with his old boys.
Maybe he did it. Yeah, maybe he did it on purpose. Yeah.
I can't
walk away and say, boys, I'll be back. Good luck. Let the assistant here to take over. I'm just going to go have a libation with the boys.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you had Dave Andrechuk and a bunch of the old Tampa Bay players who are up in the suite, and they're watching it on the TV, and they're laughing their bag off at it happening. They turn around like, oh, my God, what's Torts doing now? So yeah, yeah. I think it made the night all the more memorable, I think, in the big picture. Moving on. Mm-hmm. From sports to politics. We'll get back to some hockey here in a sec. Found this interesting. Our old pal Graham Richardson from CTV Ottawa.
Yep.
He just tweeted something out that kind of piqued my interest because I think, well, I had a lot of reaction to it. In the world where everybody gets a medal, and I think that's how most people have taken this story, it's a proposed change to the graduation ceremony policy of the Ottawa-Carleton District School Board. And it would see the board switch to equity-based commencement ceremonies and allow for students without passing grades to participate in the ceremonies. And predictably, you know, people are coming in with the education system is broken. We used to be a proper country. What a joke. What happened to life lessons? Better to let them fail as kids before getting out in the real world, finding out what real failure is. And it goes like that. I'm curious to know what you think.
Well, I think it's good. Yeah, I think it's good. I think they could extend it, Steve. Why stop there? And I think they should have anyone who steals from the other kids, drug dealers, bullies.
Sure.
Bullies, racists. They should all be able to participate, Steve. Don't you think, if it's equity based, that all the, you know, gang leaders, gang members, maybe?
Yeah.
People, yeah. Kids who carry weapons. Good God. I don't want to make light of anything, but.
Well, there's
two things, Stevie. One is I'm going, I don't care, I guess. What are they trying to do? What are they trying to do? Who's that going to help? You know, and it's, First of all, if you knocked it out of the park as an honor student, you might be going, okay, well, fair enough. If you're going to bring up the kids who failed and cheated and never showed up to class, right? Yeah, yeah. If it was a kid, Steve, who just absolutely tried his ass off, you know, every day getting tutored, detentions, because, you know, and try and failed. I might give that guy a little bit of a Rudy, you know, mm-hmm. right? I might give him an Albert or a Rudy.
Right.
Say, okay, you know, this kid's unbelievable how hard he tried to. But the rest of it, backfire, Steve? Is how's nobody that? Who failed is going to want to go up.
Yeah, that was going to be one of the points. I mean, like, I wouldn't want to go if I'd be embarrassed that all my friends are graduating and I'm not. I'm just going to sit there.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not walking up. I'm not walking up at all. So it's okay. Kind of a moot thing. I don't get. I thought when it said equity based, it was going to have something to do with the LGBTQ community or something. I didn't realize it was like, if you fail. You get to pass.
No, you get to come to the commencement exercises. You're right, not getting you're not getting a diploma or a graduation.
I understand that. But the commencement exercise is for people who passed. So you can call it commencement. You can call it anything you want. So if you fail, you're gonna pass. You're gonna get, you know, if you participated in failing, you're gonna get to participate in passing. It's the fucking stupidest thing I've ever heard. It is absolutely the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I'm not getting up there, and I failed. I'm not getting up there at all.
So Edison Stewart has replied to the Graham Richardson tweet here. I get where they're going. I thought it was well put, though. Taking this to its logical and inclusive conclusion, maybe these guys should just skip university and open offices as doctors, lawyers, or TV hosts straight away. Yeah. Yeah, I think you need some training in there for sure. I'd say this. Step one, you know, as someone who's got a son who has autism, you know, they have individual education programs, these IEPs. Obviously, that is a, you know, a big time exception to this rule. But I also think, you know, why would I go exactly? That's another angle. But I really don't care. You know, as much as everybody's flipping out about it, if you want to go and you're not embarrassed to go and you want to say goodbye to your friends, then I don't have a problem with that. I think I'd have a big, I have a huge issue if you, here's your diploma, you graduate. That's a big problem. That is a case of losers getting their gold medals, right? You obviously have to, a big part of learning is learning how to fail. But a big part of a big part of the process is dealing with adversity and understanding about failures. And I think that would drive it home for the average kid. If you're failing and you're watching your friends go on to something else, even though you're going out for the party with them and to say goodbye to them one last time as your classmate, knowing you're going to have to go back next year, I think that, you know, that rubs your nose in it a little bit the way it is to a dog who did something wrong. So I don't have a problem with it. I don't think it's a huge issue. I do think, you know, learning to fail is part of it. And I think that if you want to go to this thing, then you're getting an extra dose of feeling like you failed.
Why are they doing it? What's the reason for it?
I guess they're looking at things from a perspective of, you know, mental health. You know, they're already being punished by being kept back and having to repeat their final year in high school. And so there's already a mental health issue that if some of them feel like they're going to, you know, get over the mental health issue faster by being at the party with their friends who are graduating, then in the big picture, that's maybe more important. That's my theory, but yeah, I'm not sure.
I guess I'd go to all the parties, you know. Maybe they want to say, look, you can go to the graduation dinner. Usually there's usually a graduation dinner, right? Or is that all the same thing? Is that all the same
thing?
In high school, yeah, I guess. No, right, no. High school, you go to the theater and there's 1,000 kids who are coming up. Yeah. And then you'd have your own dinner party or something. Anyway.
Right.
Stupid. It's dumb.
Anyway.
I like what the guy said. Yeah. Just give him a doctor's diploma.
Yeah. Everyone wins. Everyone gets to be a doctor. We'll take a time out on the program. When we come back, we'll talk about a fascinating overtime decision by the Minnesota Wild. And the Oscars happened on Sunday evening. We'll get into a bit of that as well. Coming up after these here words.
Are you ready to take your Ford ownership to the next level? Introducing Ford Pass at Jim K. Ford, your passport to a world of convenience and control. Start your vehicle remotely, lock or unlock it from your smartphone, receive instant alerts about your vehicle's health, and schedule service appointments. Don't miss out on the Ford Pass revolution at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
If you're looking to buy or sell your home, the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team can help. Glenn helped me sell a home a couple of years ago and did so much for us, including a great painter, a cleaner, even bought ceiling lights for us, all to make sure the home was looking its best, its very best on picture day, all part of Glenn's services. He can do the same for you. Visit Glenn today at glennwalton.com. Hooray for Hollywood. Did you watch any of the Oscars?
But Steve, before we do.
Okay.
I encourage everyone, Jason K, son of Jim K, God rest his soul, has always fixed me up with a car, Stevie, when I come to town.
Right.
So I thought, I'll take the car. I told him I'll be couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
By the way, Stevie, go. It's an Explorer, Ford Explorer. Okay. If you want to, it's a wicked car. Okay. It's cool. Go test drive one, actually. Go see Jason and the boys, okay?
I haven't owned a I haven't known a non-Jim K. Ford in over 20 years, my friend.
Right. So anyway, Stevie, I said, don't worry about it, Jace. I'm just going to kick around town. I won't be racking up any miles. Okay? And so I jump in it, and I go down to Toronto. Okay? And because I got stuff to do. And anyway, I get a text, Stevie. This is true. I get a text from Jason K. Uh-huh. with a picture of the car I'm driving on the, I don't know, the Don Valley Parkway in Toronto.
Oh, is it hooked up to a smartphone or something?
No. A friend is. He goes, small world. A friend of mine is in Toronto. He saw you and he was behind you driving.
And was he surprised to see you in TO?
No, I told him I was going to be in Toronto. So anyway, talk about a small world, though.
Because I know you're in.
He had me an hour before, Stevie. Okay, with the two hookers in the back reefing on a bong. Okay, that might have been a little embarrassing. Okay, that. Whoa! Thank God. Yeah. I had all the windows open.
Yeah.
I cleaned the car after I'm done with it, Steve.
Well, you'll have to get it detailed with some of the stains that activity could create.
Anyway, weird, eh? Small world. I was all creeped out.
Does he know you're in Sudbury?
No.
Okay.
No, he does now. I don't know. I might have told him I'm running up to Sudbury, too. He's the coolest guy in the world. He's like, I don't care. I'm just, keep it. What do you mean? He is. He's like, I don't know. Give it back to me in a couple of years. That's fine. You know, don't worry about it. I love Jace. Anyway,
He's good people, and we're due for breakfast. We do a breakfast probably once every, I want to say, month and a half or so.
Why breakfast, man? Why?
We're breakfast people.
I'm coming back there Thursday, and we'll do lunch.
I don't know if I want to break the breakfast tradition of this show because Glenn Walton,
and then I'll meet after.
Because I go to Broadway here in it's just up the road in Riverside South. Yeah. And both Jason and Glenn Walton, it's a great spot for them as well. The great sponsors of the program. It's a meeting of the minds, James. And we
all right, I'll make it.
All right,
good. I'll make it.
No, or lunch. I don't.
It's hard. There we go. Okay,
it's easy. It's easy. Did you watch the Oscars?
Not a second. I'll tell you.
Do you ever watch the Oscars?
I'll tell you what. Yeah, I do. I glance it. I'll tell you. It's the first time ever, Steve, that I didn't know they were on, the Oscars. And here's the other one I didn't know. The clocks went ahead. It's the first time I've ever missed it.
Really? In your life?
In my life. It's the first time I did not know till Sunday at 7:30 when I was leaving town. I stopped into Fratelli's there to have something to eat before I left town.
Nice.
Yeah, because I just use my iPhone. I don't wear a watch. I have watches, but I don't wear them very often. So, of course, your iPhone automatically, you know, updates the change.
Exactly.
I never knew.
I have my late, it's a really beat up old clock, but this is my, this guy here. Simple old wall clock. Probably right. you'd get it Value Village for about $1.99.
Yes.
It was my dad's. And when he passed in 2020, it was always like right over his head every time we went over for dinner and stuff. And,
nice.
So it's, nice. It's a prized possession. I look at it every day. It makes me think of him, but, it's, being your standard old clock, you got to wind it back an hour or forward an hour. And it's just, it's craziness. I'm not used to that anymore, but, no, I want to ask you about this, though. Do you remember back in Tigor? Like, we did some really innovative radio.
Right.
But one thing I would not include in that would be the discussions we'd have almost every time the clocks went forward or back. And you and I would be, sleep-addled, our brains not working properly, the morning man disease and whatever else was affecting your brain. From what you did the night before, we would try and figure out, are we late for an hour late for something or an hour early for something? We literally had that discussion every time the clocks changed for probably 20 years.
And there's only two answers. Right? There's only two, Stevie.
You think we could have nailed it.
So I would say every year going, okay, if you forgot to turn your clock ahead, okay, without fail, would you be late or would you be early for work? And they'll go, I'll be early, early. No, you'd be late. And then they'd argue with you.
Yeah.
And I'd say, well, do we need to go through the motions?
Yeah.
If you're supposed to be to work at 8 o'clock and you didn't set your clock and you wake up at 8, it would be 9. Yeah, I know, but that means you'd be early.
Early, yeah.
Oh, fuck, people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The brains would keep oozing out of our ears, that always came up, and it always seemed to, one of the three of us would always have a real conundrum and a real hard time with it, the good time.
Right.
So my point is, as we conclude our conversation about daylight savings time, we apologize for 20 years worth of those conversations.
Sure.
Yeah, the Oscars, it was nothing, you know, Oppenheimer seemed to win everything. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was necessarily like, wow, it's unbelievable. Best movie. It was fine. I wasn't.
One of my friends said he was kind of bored by it. That it was a bunch of talking or something. I don't know. Like not a bunch of action, I guess. I don't know.
It reminded me very much of all those Oliver Stone movies that were big in the, in the late 80s, early 90s, like the
JFKs and all that.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say. A whole big investigation and lots of interviews and things like that. I found it had that same tone to it. If you told me that was an Oliver Stone movie, I'd have believed you. And I wasn't ever huge into the Oliver Stone movies, but you know, certainly great acting performances. And Cillian Murphy won for Best Actor. And then you had Robert Downey Jr. winning his very first Oscar. I was shocked by that. I thought he had won an Oscar for, oh God, what's the name of the old silent movie star? Charlie Chaplin. Chaplin.
Oh yeah.
He was in that. I thought he had won an Oscar for that, but I learned today that it was his first Oscar for best supporting actor in Oppenheimer. And then you had, what else did you have? You had
poor thing or something. You said poor things.
What
was it called?
You poor thing, Jim. Yeah. Poor things. Emma Stone won for best actress. I like Emma Stone. I think she's great. But yeah. I don't think I'd even heard of Poor Things going into this thing. So
maybe I'll go watch it.
Yeah, Poor Things and Oppenheimer won a bunch. And Barbie, thankfully, didn't win a ton. I think they won for best music, best song or something like that. And that was, I mean, I watched about an hour of it. And I got to say that Ryan Gosling can actually sing a little bit. He did a live version of I'm Just Ken. And it was actually a really good production. I hate musicals. But it was actually a pretty good live production. And for a guy who's not known as a singer, I thought they did a pretty good job with that, to the point where most of the day today, I was sort of falling into the song. I'm just can't anywhere else I'd be a 10. Haunting me. One of those earworms that I couldn't get out of my head today. There's your Oscar update.
I'm a fan of musicals.
Are you? I hate them.
Oh, love them. There just hasn't been one in a long time. God, Steve, the last musical I saw was Oliver Twist in 1960.
There was one I didn't mind that actually had the two actors I just talked about, Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone. What the hell was it called?
What was it called? L.A. Life or something?
La La Land. La La Land, that's it.
Yeah.
And it won a bunch of stuff as well. I thought, as a musical goes, that's about as close to tolerating it as I probably would get. Mm-hmm. I don't mind it live. I'll watch, you know, I like Les Mis. It was pretty good. Phantom of the Opera.
No, you don't. You're just saying that.
I like Les Mis.
No, you know what? The reason you don't like musicals, Steve, is because you think it's too feminine.
Not true.
That's why. That's true. That's true. You don't like the feminine thing. You're not big on it. You don't like showing your feminine side.
Nope, not at all.
You did it once. You did it once when you went to that Eagles concert with Claudio. All right?
That had nothing to do with anything we're talking about here. I like storytelling, James. So let me ask you this. So I'll tell you a story. Hey, I bought a camera today. and it cost me X amount of money. I got in my car and I drove home with my camera. Nice.
There you go.
I like storytelling without music. That's all.
Well,
nobody listening right now appreciated me breaking into song in the middle of my story.
I encourage the good listener to weigh in, Steve. Mm-hmm. You can give them the email address at the end of the show because it takes so long to give it. You know, I wouldn't want you to give it right now. They can decide, Steve. Okay. They've been listening to you for a long time, Stevie boy. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you're worried about your feminine side.
Let me get you to give out the email address, which I've given out 2000 times before on the program. I want to see you take a shot at what our email address for this show is.
SWproject.com.
Oh, so close. So close.
Oh, no.
Bum, bum, ba, bum.
Oh, no.
SteveWproject@outlook.com.
Otherwise, it'd be Project.
Right.
You said Steve, SWP Project. Yeah.
Precisely. And I knew you wouldn't get that because literally your business, your financial lifeblood, you had an opportunity to promote it just now, the URL of which you could not come up with.
God damn it.
Can you get it now? Now that 30 minutes has elapsed?
Don't, shut up. Don't even ask. Don't even ask.
All right. One last thing before we go. I have to ask you about this crazy overtime situation with the Minnesota Wild. So the Wild are tied in it's overtime. It's 3-on-3. Obviously they're tied. You can't be in 3-on-3 and not be tied. It just doesn't work that way. So it's 3-on-3 overtime, and the Minnesota Wild basically taking on Nashville. I guess they were chasing the puck the whole overtime period, and they decided with about 90 seconds left that they would pull their goalie so they could go 4-on-3 against Nashville. Minnesota's fighting tooth and I think it's the craziest decision. One of the craziest decisions I've seen a coach make. It makes no sense to me. You're 4-on-3 and now you have an empty net.
Yes.
And it's like you want to get the 2 points. I get that. But you still have an opportunity if you do, you know, even if it's still tied, you can still go into the shootout and get your second point there. Mm-hmm. And by pulling your goalie, I think we all agree for the, I don't know, million games we've seen where a team pulls their goalie, how often do they actually successfully tie it up? Maybe one in 40 games, maybe one in 40.
Yeah. Maybe one in 40. And also the next stat is how often do they get scored against? With an empty net.
Tons, obviously.
Right. Yeah. Right. Tons. Go ahead.
Yeah. So not a high percentage move, whatever I'm sure the odds would be, you know, in favor of you losing and getting scored on. And here's a rule that I think a lot of NHL fans did not know, myself included, because this never happens. If you pull your goalie in overtime and you get scored on your empty net, the point you just earned for getting to overtime is rescinded. You forfeit that point. So that makes no sense to me at all when you throw in that wrinkle. It already made little sense, given that you still had a chance in the shootout to get your second point. But now that I know you're getting a point stripped from you, I don't care what your situation is. That's just bad strategy, I think. What did you think?
Well, they're two interesting things. I get it if it's game 81 and you need 3 points to get into the playoffs. Maybe I might, you know, there's only one game left or it's your final game. And if you don't get two, but even that, right? You
there's
make
no
point,
3 point reference.
No, but I'm saying maybe you need three with the last two games. So you got to win both.
Right.
Or squeeze a tie on that one. But maybe you think I get it. Or maybe you need 4 points, Stevie, with two games left. So I might understand that. The one about pulling the goalie and the league says, okay, no, if they do that in overtime, though, then we're going to take away the extra point. I don't get that. Why? Why? They got the point. Who cares? They're going to get scored against, probably, with leaving their net empty. So I don't understand that. I don't understand why they would do that.
That's a good point. I don't know what the point of the rule is,
because
it is they're taking the gamble. Why are you penalizing them further? They just lost the game. That's penalty enough.
Well, the other thing, Steve, is if that's what you're doing, then why aren't you doing it when they pull their goalie in regular time? If they did it when it's tied.
Right.
Which I guess they probably wouldn't. Or maybe it is a rule, Steve. Maybe it's regulation too. So
these guys
are going to pull. If they need the 2 points, Stevie, they're down. They're down a goal, or maybe they're tied. Maybe they're down a goal wouldn't matter. There'd be no penalty, but for pulling your goalie. But if they're tied and they go, we got to get 2 points here. We got to get two. One's no good. Right. So yeah, I don't know
if the game were ending. If the game at the end of 3-on-3 overtime, if it came to a conclusion. And each team, like they did in the old days, just got a point and you went on your way, then I could see it. You want to get your second point. But, it's the same, worse even, than in the final 2 minutes of a 2-2 game in regulation, and you decide we're going to pull our goalie here. But why? You still have overtime.
Yeah,
you can still get the second point there. And same in overtime. Why were you pulling your goalie? You could still get the extra point in the shootout. Doesn't make any sense to me at all. None.
It makes so little sense, Steve, that if they do that and made a mistake, they should be part of the commencement ceremony, Steve.
Oh, yes.
For all the grade 13 and 12 students, or 12 students, grade 12 students. Yeah.
Can I submit that I've been talking about Minnesota's NHL team for the last 5 minutes and I still haven't heard it?
I was just about to launch in. Oh,
damn.
Oh, I'm not kidding you. I was just going to give it, Stevie. A lot of people don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
This whole story about Tortorella, okay, that they forget about his days with the Minnesota North Stars.
That's right.
Yeah,
I will say
you
this:
blew it. You stepped on my deal, Steve. I have something before we go.
All right,
if I might indulge you. Constable Paquette, Steve, with the OPP Division North Bay, okay.
Uh-oh.
Can fuck off.
Okay? What'd he get you for?
Fuck me, okay? The guy gets me for cruising.
That's going to Jason K, isn't it?
Hey, what? No. I got to give him my license. Oh, maybe. Yeah, okay. Not to worry. So anyway, Stevie, I'm clipping along, okay? I'm booting along. I leave at 7 at night. The roads are clear, so it's fine. I don't mind. I'm a late night guy. It doesn't bother me. I don't fall asleep when I'm driving late at night. It's nice to know. And I'm zipping along. Sometimes, downhill, Steve, buck 40, whoop, too quick. Yep. Buck 25. Anyway, I'm, I got to North Bay. That's about 4 hours or something like that. And the guy gets me coming the other way, Stevie. Okay? He gets me at 100. I'm going 118 in an 80. Okay, so that's 38 kilometers over the limit. All right? So, dude pulls me over, comes up to the window. Hi, he gives it this one here. I knew I was kind of in trouble, Steve, because he gave it the rehearsed. Okay, the rehearsed. Good evening, sir. My name's Constable Marcel Paquette from the North Bay OPP Division 725. Is there I'm pulling you over, sir, for speeding. Is there a reason, sir, you've been going to excessive speed, that you were the only car that I locked into coming the opposite direction on Highway 17? I go, no. I'm just cruising up to Sudbury. He goes, okay, you were going 118 in an 80. I'll need all your documents, sir. Okay?
Right.
I'm going, okay. I say right away, Steve. Well, I'm getting the documents. Okay, I go, hey, do you think this is a good night to give a guy a break?
Nice.
I know I got to get a ticket. I'm cool with the guy, right? I like you guys are cool. I said, you guys are really cool, and is this going to be a big ticket?
Right.
Goes, I'm not sure, sir. I'll have to check right now and get back to you. Please stay in your vehicle. Okay. Dude comes back, Stevie. Okay. Here you go, sir. I've written a ticket for you going 118 and an 80. It's 3 demerit points, and it's 38 kilometers over the limit. I said, what are you, a prick?
What are you doing? No, you didn't.
I did. I said, what are you, a prick? What are you doing? I said, listen, I tried to appeal with the guy, Steve, okay? Now, listen to me, Steve, about this. He goes, sir, have a good day. He reads all the three options. I do all this. And here's the ticket. It's 118. I said, you're the most uncool cop I've ever met. Okay, Stevie, how about this? And I hit him with this. Stevie, what do you think, okay, Stevie, what do you lock in your radar at to pull people over? Okay, if it's an 80, if they're going 90 or 88 or 90, I bet you're not pulling them over, right? Mm-hmm. Have you ever gotten a ticket for 8 kilometers over the limit? No.
It's usually 15, I think, is the number they start.
Let's say it's 15, Stevie, okay? So you're going to get a ticket. You better only go 95 in an 80. Otherwise, you're going to get a ticket.
Right.
Right? So how the fuck are you giving me a full 118? Why don't you give me 15 kilometers off? That's how you start off.
Right.
Anyway, do you get my point?
I get your point. Slow you down, you.
Okay, you little prick. Yeah. I hope you're listening. And I even told him if he gave me, knock something off in the ticket, I would pay him. No, I didn't say that.
That's bribing him. Steve. Yeah, no, exactly.
I said
yeah.
I would talk about him on our podcast.
Oh,
I'd be nice.
Take that, officer. You've been talked about on the SWP.
On the SWP, Constable Paquette, you little bastard.
I don't believe you said any of that stuff. You're like, it's what you wanted to say. It's what you wanted to say.
I said you're the most uncool cop in the world. I didn't call him a prick.
All right.
I did call him a prick, and he did hear me, but he was walking back to his vehicle. But I did say it loud enough. I was like, oh, you fucking prick. Like that. Yeah.
You should have gone with the, I'm floating on air right now. I couldn't tell because I'm in a Jim K. Ford vehicle and it's like 140 to me feels like 90. This thing is so, so smooth.
Yeah. You consider the company here that you're talking to. Okay. You little bastard, Paquette. About that, Steve. Think about that. You're never pulling someone over unless they're like 12, 15 over. So how do you not give a guy a 12, 15 kilometer break? Son of a bitch. Yeah.
I think the new car was to blame, though, because I think your normal vehicle, if you're going 140 in that, it would be like shaking. You'd be shaking like Jodie Foster in Contact in that crazy time machine. Yeah. Be craziness. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you being here and enduring a lot. Poor Paquette. So we appreciate everyone except for Paquette, you prick. Don't forget our website is stevewproject.com. Take a note of this, Jim. Our email address is stevewproject@outlook.com. Did you want to take another try at your website?
My website is recordyourstory.info.
You're looking to your friend there.
I was.
Am I right? Am I right?
Oh, you're so right.
Tell me I'm right.
Oh, okay. You are right. You are right, busted. Like Paquette. You busted me.
Right. Well, we'll see you when you come to town, and we'll have a bite to eat, and
let's
look forward to talking to you in our next episode.
Right on. Good night, everybody.
We'll see you.